David Darren's top five things. Here on NotShowRadio.com and DaveandDarren.com, this will be the last podcast we do for a little bit, although we'll have a patron show for you.
Right, a Black Friday show.
We're doing that on Black Friday.
If you'd like to become a patron and have access to everything we've ever done, well over 1,000 podcasts and specialty programming like the patron-only podcast, you can go to...
Really, just the patron-only podcast.
Well, yeah, but you have access to everything we've ever done.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And there's still, and we still, from time to time, do best ofs.
Yeah, but that's a patron show.
It is. But it's not an original new show. It's just stuff culled from years ago.
We're not original.
No.
I think that's well said.
The new originals is what we are.
You can do that by going to NotShowRadio.com if you want to be a patron and have access to everything.
That's exactly right.
Like well over 1,000 podcasts.
Now let's get back to this podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about this one. So yeah, there'll be a little bit of a break between now and the next one because we're taking a little bit of time off. Although it's possible, I don't know when you're listening to this. It's possible that there's another podcast ready for you.
We're already back.
It's tricky talking to you. Podcast friend, because I don't know when you are listening, but I'm glad that you do. And you should know that it's possible thanks to our sponsors at Nature's Treatment.
That's right. Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and also West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Here's the number one for today's show.
Number one.
Number one.
Alex Trebek passed away, as you know, a couple of weeks ago. The last Jeopardy show that he did, I think, is going to air on Christmas Day. And that's just a way that it worked out as far as the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have the task of trying to announce his replacement. It seems like Ken Jennings is the guy who's going to get the job, although they've made the announcement that he'll be guest hosting. They haven't quite given him the gig yet, and they're saying other people will be guest hosting as well. There's been a lot of murmurings on the internet suggesting that LeVar Burton should be the new host.
Oh, yeah?
And honestly, I think I'm in Camp LeVar.
Okay.
I think he'd be great at it. The Jeopardy shows are going to start taping again at the end of the month. And the first guest host will be Ken Jennings, who had a 74-day winning streak on Jeopardy.
So does he get 74 days?
But I'm not sure how long they're going to let him do it for. He'll be the first guest host appearing. That'll be on the January 11th episode. Jennings was made a consulting producer on the show and has already been reading categories on air. In a tweet from the Jeopardy account, producers say that the remaining hosts will be people from the Jeopardy family, and additional guest hosts will be announced as well.
Mm-hmm.
So who else in the Jeopardy family would be someone that would... I mean, I guess I'm struggling to think of people in the Jeopardy family.
And then what I would suggest you do is if you can't find a particular... If you can't find a host, then you just play a video of Harry Carey singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Jeopardy executive producer Mike Richards says here, quote, Alex believed in the importance of Jeopardy and always said he wanted the show to go on after him. We will honor Alex's legacy by continuing to produce the game he loved with smart contestants and challenging clues. No one's suggesting that Alex Trebek is some sort of pharaoh and you need to bury the show with him.
No. No, if it's okay with you, Mr. Trebek, we're going to go ahead and keep doing the show.
This is our job too, Alex.
Yeah, not just, right.
There's a lot of people that put this show together.
This was not your idea.
When I die, the show dies with me.
No.
You hear me? Sure, Alex, whatever you say. By bringing in familiar guest hosts for the foreseeable future, this says here, our goal is to create a sense of community and continuity for our viewers.
Let's not be too precious here. Just pick a host.
Here's where things get a little tricky. The Ken Jennings has signed on to be one of the chasers on a U.S. remake of a show called The Chase, in which trivia experts take on ordinary contestants. So he might not be able to be the permanent host of Jeopardy. The other two chasers are also likely candidates for guest hosts. Brad Rutter and James Holzhauer, the second and third highest earning game show contestants respectively. So somebody signed up these three Jeopardy guys to do a different show. In essence, locking them down.
So if I was to release them from their contract, you're going to have to pay me this.
Well, there's that.
The show will never happen.
Or is the chase going to be some sort of new...
I just lock them down, knowing that someday you would want them.
An online petition, and I want to be very careful here because I want to make sure I'm consistent here. I've always said these online petitions are a tremendous waste of everyone's time. But they did get 100,000 signatures demanding that LeVar Burton be the new host of Jeopardy. And while I don't think online petitions do any damn good, I would absolutely sign my name to that one. I think he'd be fantastic.
Will he wear the glasses?
Why would he? You mean the visor?
Yes, the visor.
Okay, so that's Geordi LaForge. That's a character that he plays.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear that
in real
life.
I bet
he had
access to the visor, though.
There's that.
He probably still has them.
There's a great story that Bruce Valanche tells. When they were filming in 76, they were filming the Paul Lynn Halloween special. Paul Lynn wanted to go out and have a cigarette, and he did it in his witch costume. And this is 76, so Roots had just captured America's attention.
Sure it had.
And LeVar Burton was walking there on the studios there, on the lot. LeVar Burton was walking from one place to another, and Paul Lynn's having a cigarette dressed in a full witch costume.
Mm-hmm.
He sees LeVar Burton, but he can't think of his name. But he wants to acknowledge that he sees LeVar Burton.
Isn't capable of remembering his name.
Can't remember LeVar Burton's name. So instead, he interrupts his cigarette in full dress as a witch. Paul Lynn looks at LeVar Burton and screams across the studio lot, "Roots!" Other names being touted by fans of the show to take over for Jeopardy: scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson, or even Bill Nye the Science Guy. I don't hate either of those guys. George Stephanopoulos.
They've got other jobs.
George Stephanopoulos has been lobbying for the gig, too.
He's got a job.
I think he just wants off of that Good Morning America. I think that's it.
Wouldn't it be a better idea to give this to somebody who's looking for a job? Come on.
That's the thing with showbiz. You only can get a job if you have five other jobs. That's how it works. They're not interested in bringing anybody new on.
Showbiz, it's Jeopardy.
Which is a showbiz. It's a game show. Before Jennings takes on guesting duties, Jeopardy will pay tribute to Trebek with 2 weeks of his best episodes.
I wonder if someone like Pat Sajak or the people over at the Wheel of Fortune, they have to kind of have a little bit of a complex when it comes to like Jeopardy, right?
In that.
The Jeopardy looks down on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, I'm sure they do. And rightfully so.
Well. Oh, the wheel. Oh.
But see, Pat Sajak to me, when I watch the wheel, I always get a vibe that he wishes he would have quit 20 years ago. He just doesn't seem like he wants to be there some nights. Most nights. He just seems like, ugh, am I still doing this?
Well, except for the fact that the executive producers still have the routing number and the account number to his to his bank. So that he appreciates.
How much do you think Sajak is pulling in a year?
Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
I would imagine that he probably has like...
I mean, that's the number one syndicated show in the world, right? Either Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, and they're both produced by the same company, so...
$5 million?
His annual salary as host of Wheel of Fortune is $15 million.
Okay, well...
Vanna White is pulling in $10 million a year.
Uh-huh.
$10 million a year! So what do you think,
Alex? He doesn't hate it that much.
Right, and they film all of it. Don't they do, like... Like, they go in on Tuesday and they knock out a month's worth of episodes.
Yeah, so they show up 12 times a year.
So Trebek was only making $10 million a year. Sajak was making $15 million.
There you go. Don't look down on me.
Trebek was making the same amount of money as Vanna White. So I guess if anything, Wheel probably looks down at Jeopardy because they have a bigger audience.
They essentially do the same thing.
Yeah,
it's true. Reveal the answer.
Right.
Vanna reveals the answer, so does Trebek.
Right, because on Jeopardy, the contestants are really in charge of the gameplay.
Yeah. I'm just revealing the answer, just like Vanna over here.
But Vanna doesn't have to read anything. I mean, they're both making what they're making. I mean, Alex Trebek obviously didn't make anything anymore, but... So they're going to be doing 2 weeks, the week of December 21st and the week of December 28th. Those will be Alex Trebek's best episodes. I'm curious to see what constitutes a best of for Alex Trebek. I mean, the guy hosted thousands of episodes, but like, what's one where you're like, Alex really shines in this one? Are they just good matches? Or is it something that he did in particular that made them stand out?
Or you could just jump around from questions from a bunch of different games so it doesn't even really add up to one game.
Well, they're going to do their best to pay homage, and rightfully so. Who did Alex Trebek want to be the next host of Jeopardy? Who did he think should take over? That's something that people have asked. And he used to joke when he was still with us that he thought Betty White should replace him. Now, obviously, Betty White's not going to be replacing him because she's a million years old. And God bless her. She's awesome. But we're not going to have somebody who's been acting since 1939 taking over Jeopardy. We can't lose another Jeopardy host.
I believe his dying wish was for the host to not be chosen or selected until after the new administration. I could have that wrong. Do I have that mixed up?
Those were his dying words.
That's what his granddaughter said.
Number two.
Let me ask you this. You've lived here your whole life, except for how long were you in Phoenix?
Yeah, I've basically lived here.
Was it a year, 2 years? How long did you do?
A couple years.
A couple years in Phoenix. I didn't know you then.
Two and a half? That's something like that.
Two and a half.
Couple. Maybe.
What did you do out in Phoenix?
What's that?
What'd you do when you were out there? Like, did you make a living somehow?
Took in a lot of sun for the most part.
That was just getting a tan walk?
Just getting a tan.
Did you weren't in radio then, were you?
No, but that's where I kind of dipped my toe in.
So you got like a start out there?
Kind of, in that, yes, I had access to a radio station called KUPD.
Oh, that's a great station.
Yeah.
It wasn't great for you?
It was fine.
Okay. So did you do like a show there or
no.
part-time stuff?
No,
or
I just
internship?
Got... Yeah, kind of an internship.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are they? Are they still a station now? I recognize those call letters as being an important radio station.
I'm sure they are. I don't know exactly what they do.
But let me ask you this. Having lived all over, if you were to open up a snow park, what would be a state that would make zero sense to open up a snow park?
Arizona?
Yeah, sure. That would be probably the worst. Also on that list...
I know they had a hot summer this summer.
Arizona did?
Yeah.
Also on that list, Darren, I'm going to go ahead and put our favorite of the 50 states in terms of the amount of material it provides us.
Florida.
Someone thought it would be a good idea to open a snow park in Dade City, Florida. The Snowcat Ridge Alpine Snow Park. Dade City, that's like Miami, right? The Florida heat impeding the new winter wonderland that just opened on Friday. The Snowcat Ridge Alpine Snow Park announcing that they're going to have to make some changes as the park has, quote, misestimated the amount of snow production that's required to allow guests of all ages to come and play in the snow.
Essentially, what we have here is just a hose. So they're just spraying water down the hill.
The snow production that they misestimated the amount that they'd be able to make requires to allow guests of all ages to play in the snow inside the park's Arctic igloo, which has been closed one day after opening. As a result, management says they're going to have to limit the hours of operation at the park so they can concentrate on snow production and ensure that the igloo remains fully operational. The statement here reads, "We definitely want to ensure all of the kids and families that want to see and play in the snow are able to."
They're spraying water over there. I wonder if they're doing that intentionally. I wonder if they're friend or foe.
If you purchased a ticket for a time slot in the igloo, that's no longer available. Your ticket may be automatically refunded. But they warn refunds could take up to 10 business days to process.
Could you get a rain check?
That's what you're going to get, a rain check at the snow park. That's perfect. That is perfect. Yeah, Snow Cat Ridge, Alpine Snow. I mean, I guess I could see if it's all indoors. I could see that being fun for people in Florida to experience what they think snow is.
Climate controlled, sure.
Right. Let's see. They are open. It says here they're open today from 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. They're at the snow park. Here are the attractions. There's the Snowy Slopes, which looks like it's just a big tube, snow tubing fun. Snowy Slopes is a 60-foot-tall, 400-foot-long snow tubing hill featuring single, tandem, and family-style snow tubing. Even better, riders will be transported to the top of the hill using a pair of magic carpet conveyor lifts. You get 2 hours of tubing fun when you sign up for this attraction. The Arctic Igloo is just a big indoor. I mean, this looks like it's an ice rink, and they've just shaved some ice and put it in a pile
over there in the corner.
The Arctic Igloo features a snow play area, great for building the perfect snowman.
Why is it so hot in here?
And a bunny slope for riders 42 inches tall, designed for children 3 years and under. You know, there's this too.
Isn't the idea of an igloo to keep you warm?
Yeah, that's the whole point of it. Great point. Also, I'm looking at the pictures here on the website of these people. Like,
I feel like I've got malaria in here.
I'm looking at these folks, you know.
They won't let them out.
In a way, it feels like climate cultural appropriation. You people have no business pretending that you're living in snow. This doesn't seem right. Like, they're all bundled up in coats and sweaters, and they're having, like, hot cocoa, and this is not what it's like
to
have winter.
This is like one of those sweat tents.
Also, if you live in Dade City, Florida, you don't have a winter coat and mittens and a hat and all of that. That's just not something those people have.
And you've made the decision to live somewhere where you don't have to deal with snow.
Yes. Right.
I mean, unless you're native.
That would be like you and I opening up a park where people could experience uncomfortable humidity and the occasional alligator attack. Who's going to that? Nobody. Sorry, everybody. We misestimated the amount of humidity here at Florida Park.
Florida.
I don't know. I really can't comment. I've never been.
It just seems to me that when you've been open a day and you're already issuing refunds, this seems like a bad idea. They're in Dade City, Florida. You'll find them at 37839 St. Joe Road. Snowcat Ridge seemed like a good idea until it wasn't.
I'll have a couple Cuban sandwiches to go, please.
They're all bundled up in their scarves and their big wool hats, and they're having hot cocoa. This is climate appropriation. I don't think this is okay.
Do they have a look on their face like, let us out of here?
Yes. Yes, the smile that says, hurry up and take the picture already.
There's not a lot of moving air in here.
Perfect for building a snowman. Okay. Here in the Snowy Slopes, I mean, they've got people in wintered coats, all unzipped, by the way. And then they've got pictures of people, like, going down the tubes, but they're wearing just short-sleeve shirts. So pick a lane. What's going on in there?
No one's wearing a mask. This is a hot zone.
Cozy up to a campfire and roast s'mores in our viewing area. Perfect for taking in the nightly snowy slopes, music, and light show. Music and light show? The Alpine Village features a variety of vendors offering food, drinks, beer, wine, shopping, and more.
It's an oversized Petri dish.
That's all it is.
Number three.
Thanksgiving hotlines, the Butterball and other turkey hotlines, are going to start to go through their busiest time of year. Yeah, that'd be a good job to have, like working at the Butterball turkey hotline, but you take like this week off.
This thing's on fire.
Working at the Butterball turkey hotline in July. I think that would
be. Yeah, you don't get to do that. Just like the kids over at Channel 8, you don't take the week of the golf tournament off.
Right.
You're not allowed to do that.
You have to understand, too, that when people are calling the Butterball line, more often than not, they're calling because they're in a panic position, right? You're not calling the hotline just because you have general questions. Usually it's like, I've done something terrible. Help me solve it. And I'd be interested to know, with everything that's going on, how many people will be doing their first turkey this year, just out of necessity. Because maybe you always go home and mom always takes care of it, or you always go to an aunt or uncle's house or something. You go to grandma's place. I wonder how many people will be, by necessity, doing their first ever bird this year.
Probably plenty.
I'm guessing that number would be...
Yeah, that would probably be more, certainly more than normal.
You would think, right?
You got to thaw the thing, man. Like I said, last night, I bought the turkey on Sunday. And it's not a big turkey. It's probably about as small a turkey as you can get.
Right.
But that thing is rock solid. It is not going to thaw in a day, folks.
That's the problem, is you don't find out about this thawing trick until it's the day of.
No, it needs to be thawing.
Oh, no, you should have put that in the fridge on Sunday.
It needs to be thawing now.
No.
Yeah, it's... And a lot of times they'll give you some sort of chart for thawing in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. That thing's going to need to spend some time outside of the refrigerator on top of it, or in some sort of water bath.
The suggestion is that you thaw your turkey a week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's the number one biggest question they deal with at the Butterball Turkey Hotline is how do I thaw this thing? Right?
It's a cannonball.
Yeah, they freeze up real good.
You could.
Uh-huh.
You could fight an army with frozen turkeys.
Well... You absolutely could. To prevent a dry turkey, they say the most important thing you need to do is check the date on it. Now, most of the turkeys you get are going to be fresh turkeys, right?
If this is something that you saved from last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it's from last year, you should be fine. They say make sure your frozen turkey was purchased within 2 years.
Okay, there you go.
Or make sure your fresh turkey is not beyond the sell date, because both of those things could impact the quality of your turkey. If you're storing it, you want to keep it in a deep freeze. Rather than a frost freeze refrigerator, because then you'll get freezer burn. You don't want that. Thawing the turkey is probably the most important step, right? In terms of what you do.
It's very important. Otherwise, you're just going to be baking it like a chicken.
Another call that they get is giblets. Like, what exactly are the giblets?
They're the good stuff.
That's what you say. That's the liver and the gizzard
and the heart,
right?
And the neck.
Now you take that out of the bird, and then you make rich, flavorful gravy with it, right?
Well, you just put it off to the side. Yes.
Do you eat it on its own, or is that something the dogs
get? I do a lot.
Or?
No, I eat that.
Yeah, that's for you. All right. The other question I get is, what size should I get? If you're making that call, now, you might be too late.
A lot of times, my mom will bake a ham with the turkey.
Yeah.
Because that just makes for a better gravy.
Yeah.
But then that ham, the neck takes on the flavor of the ham. So when you're eating a turkey neck, it tastes actually more like ham than it does turkey.
The numbers on the bottom of a Butterball turkey, they've got quite a little code. The first four numbers, when you look on the Butterball turkey, they have a lot code system. So the first four numbers let you know what plant the turkey is from.
Uh-huh.
Then you have another number that is the last digit of the year the turkey was processed.
Yeah.
Then you have the Julian date. So like 229 would be August 16th. And then there are two zeros at the end. Those are code placeholders for a time when they think maybe we'll need to put more information on it.
And the date when the turkey was baptized.
What was its religious background? And, who did it vote for? Kind of credit did this turkey have? All-time great panic calls on the turkey hotline. One year, a guy calls in saying, we've got all the relatives coming, and my wife has every inch of the refrigerator taken up, every inch of the freezer taken up. How am I going to thaw the turkey? He'd already taken matters into his own hands, and it didn't end well. He said, I left my turkey in the garage to thaw. Now, this guy lived in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So
it didn't thaw at all.
Well, it's, pretty cold out. The turkey should be fine. But he forgot to close the garage door.
Mm.
And with the door open, an animal came in and ripped open the packaging.
Yeah, but that even be turkey. But that'd be rough. Mm-hmm. That's a jawbreaker, even if you're a coyote.
So
a frozen turkey?
It had started to thaw.
Okay, well then.
Whatever animal got into it. And this guy was calling the Butterball hotline to ask, I found what was left. Would this be okay to serve?
Is anyone going to get rabies?
That was the question. And the folks at Butterball said there's no safe way to
No, don't be doing that.
You cannot do that. One guy called the Turkey Talk hotline to say that he took a chainsaw to his turkey and cut it in half.
That's not going
to
help a ton.
And he was wondering if oil from the chain would adversely affect the turkey. And the answer was, probably. Now, don't take a chainsaw to food.
Is that something you'd like to do?
Chainsaw a turkey?
No.
The answer is yes.
Work the Butterball hotline for a shift.
This is it. I like to be helpful and I like to be useful. Conversely, I'm not good with dumb people. So I don't know that I could do it. I think I would get frustrated.
They would
frustrated.
Probably give you a flow chart and everything. I'm sure they've got answers provided for you that you don't have to necessarily memorize everything.
One caller needed to defrost a 16-pound bird and had underestimated how long it would take.
I don't think I could deal with customer service because I don't do well with dumb people.
I like people. I just don't like dumb people.
Well, good luck then.
Well, that's the issue. I mean, that was the issue I had when I was out in the real world doing sales. When I would do, like when I was working for the beer company, 99% of people were lovely. But if I was doing like a tasting somewhere, it just takes one idiot to ruin your day.
99% of people are lovely?
Oh, no. I would say most folks I dealt with were wonderful. But you just have one person that can just ruin it for you.
Wow, I want to live in the candy land you live in.
Well, I think you get what you give, Darren. I think I put out good vibes. 97% of people. I feel okay.
That could be my problem.
Guy needs to defrost a 16-pound bird, and he completely underestimated how long it would take. So he calls up, he say, how long is this going to take before it's ready to eat?
Forever.
Because here's the thing. It was taking too long to defrost, so I went ahead and I put it in the hot tub. And how long is it going to take to be ready to eat?
Well, that should work. I don't know that I would tell your guests.
It won't work.
Because they're all going to catch the clap now.
There's a reason when you thaw your bird, you're using cold water, not hot water. And that's bacteria growth. So putting your frozen turkey in the jacuzzi, you're just going to make a germ bomb, right? You can't have it.
Welcome to the germ bomb.
One guy got a phone call here. They pick up the phone, they say, hello, it's the turkey talk line, and they're greeted by the sounds of splashing water in the background. It turns out the dad was stuck between bathing his twins and thawing the turkey and decided why not do both. Put the turkey in the bathtub with his little kids. Dad called in to figure out if he could thaw the turkey in the bath water and serve it to his guests.
This turkey tastes like fraternal twins. How would you know what fraternal twins taste like?
One panicked caller realized the turkey he was trying to stuff into his oven was never going to fit. The turkey was too big.
Yeah.
And this guy was a part-time turkey roaster and a full-time landlord. So,
well, if it's thawed, you should be able to cut it in half. Okay.
He asked one of his tenants if he could rent their oven for $25. Panic set in when the caller realized he'd have to enter his tenant's home multiple times to baste the turkey, and he was worried about what the tenant would ask him. Like, every time I go in there, he's going to ask me to fix something around the apartment. So he was calling the turkey hotline to figure out, how do I avoid going in there? Because he's just going to want me to fix stuff in the apartment that I'm renting out to him.
I'm not here for those sort of questions.
How do I get out of fixing stuff in the apartment I own? What?
That's not part of the flow chart here.
No. Here's one where the person who was having Thanksgiving were having guests over from the Bahamas, and they wanted to make sure that the people from the Bahamas felt at home on Thanksgiving.
Dude, but what does that mean? What does that mean? If you're from the Bahamas,
they're Americans. Their guests are from the Bahamas.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but you don't. They're coming. They know they're leaving the Bahamas. They know they're coming to America. Does it say what state they're going to? Did it say that?
It does not. But
okay,
but
you're going to Minnesota.
Right.
Or you're coming here to Iowa.
I want them to feel at home.
So I'm going to dress up Iowa like the Bahamas? They know they're leaving the islands.
How mad would you be?
That's not necessary. I'd be furious.
If you went to the Bahamas.
And it was like Iowa.
And they had just corn stalks
everywhere. Yeah, they dressed it up like Iowa. I'd be furious. That's why I'm coming here. To experience something different.
You're leaving the Bahamas to go to an American Thanksgiving celebration.
Yes, what is that like?
I don't think they do Thanksgiving in the Bahamas. If they do, it's not the day that we do it, right?
I don't want it to be like the Bahamas.
Well, she had a lot going on. She had a very hectic day, and she wanted to make sure her guests from the Bahamas felt at home.
No!
It gets so much dumber, Darren. It gets so much dumber.
Welcome to my home.
How do I make my Bahamian guests feel like they're at home? And she figured out what she wanted to do. She called the turkey hotline and asked, how do I put bikini tan lines on the turkey?
Well,
as a nice tropical twist for my Bahamian friends.
I guess you would just make an aluminum foil bikini.
Well, you absolutely called it.
What else could you do?
Mate, you can use aluminum foil to shape a bikini on the roasting bird.
When they eat birds, when they eat fowl in the Bahamas, they don't have bikini tan lines.
Well, no, because turkeys don't walk around in little bikinis. And if they did,
it wouldn't matter because they've got feathers.
I don't want to think about the bird getting killed while it was having fun on the beach.
Right, on vacation.
I don't want to dwell too much on how the bird died, but in a
this
farm
turkey was murdered on vacation. By the pool, apparently.
It's reading its favorite novel.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, that's great. Oh, this is bumming us out. Thanks for trying to make us feel at home. This is depressing.
That's what they said?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't make a lick of sense.
Then there's this one. Imagine all the pressure of Thanksgiving, and on top of that, you got your in-laws.
Yeah.
Who don't believe in you.
Don't
believe that you can cook.
Oh.
They believe in you.
They don't believe
that you exist, but they don't believe in you.
Yeah, they believe you exist.
Turkey Talk Hotline gets a phone call from a woman who's calling from inside a closet. She says, "Can you hear me? I've never cooked a turkey, and my mother-in-law is convinced I can't cook. And I can't cook, but I want to do it."
And she's here.
And yeah, if the mother-in-law is there, it's too late. It's way too late. Oh, a new addition to the family happened. And this one where hours after his wife had given birth, a giddy and nervous father called the Butterball hotline to check whether his thawing turkey was still safe. It had been sitting there since the couple had left for the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The talk line expert asks, "Well, how much does it weigh?" And the new dad says, "The turkey or the baby?"
Typically, a turkey's going to be bigger than a baby. I mean, if you're serving a baby-sized turkey, you're not serving many.
Oh, I want to be a baby-sized turkey.
Why can't I be a baby turkey? Oh, it's the greatest.
Yeah, Noah. Yeah. Probably your baby's going to be closer probably to the size of a ham than a turkey. Typically, I think.
Oh, gosh. It's just the idea of putting a little bikini on your turkey so that the Bahamians feel at home. I bet they went home and like, "We went to the weirdest dinner we've ever been to in our lives.
We're never going back again."
It was the strangest meal ever. That bird was sunning itself on the beach, probably having the time of its life.
And took a bullet in the back of its head.
Number four.
My plan is to get the rest of the Thanksgiving fixings today at some point later on this afternoon, maybe early this evening. Yesterday was National Eat a Cranberry Day. Just one. Eat one cranberry.
Oh, they're very tart.
Yeah. Do you do cranberries at your place for Thanksgiving?
This is kind of a funny story. It's not that funny.
Well, we'll be the judge of it. Tell the story.
I'm Mr. Haney. Or wait, no, Mr. Gimble.
Not really that much of a story.
Is it Gimble?
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Gimble.
That's right.
My mom makes cranberries every year for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there are several things that you put out with along with the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the dressing, the accoutrement.
Sure.
Every year she forgets to put it out.
The cranberries?
Yes.
Yeah, because you just don't think of it.
They always remain in the refrigerator.
That's great.
And then after everyone's already eaten everything, mm-hmm. or maybe even had their second plate or half a plate,
right?
The second half plate. It's like, oh, we forgot the cranberries.
Every year. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's only so much room on the plate. I made the mistake years ago because you can get cranberries that are like in the can is how it's always been presented at my place. Growing up,
yes.
You open it up, you slide it out of the can, it's still shaped like the can.
You still see the grooves from the can.
Yes, exactly. That's the way it's always been. And a couple of years ago, I think it might have been when I did my first Thanksgiving at my place, I thought, well, I'll get the cranberries that aren't in the can.
Yeah.
Because I thought that would be somehow more elegant.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, "What is this garbage? It needs to be in the shape of the can."
No, those can be very good, too.
No one was buying it at my place. Yeah. So if it's not in the shape of the can, no one will eat it. And really, now this year, because it's just going to be me, my wife, and the boy. And my wife's the only one that really does cranberries at all. So I said, do I even bother getting cranberries?
But even that can be shaped in you can have like a cranberry salad that's made that's got like cream cheese in it that's very good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I might have to look into that.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing cranberries this year.
This was what I got. I said, "Do I get the cranberries?" And then the response I got from my wife was, "No, I don't need cranberries. But yeah, probably get cranberries." It's like as soon as she realized.
So she's like Mr. Gimble too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And like a can of cranberries is like $1.49.
Yeah.
It's not going to make or break me.
It's not the world's biggest investment.
No, I think I'll be able to pull that off. But yeah, plan is to go out and get some stuff today. I don't know if you saw this. There's a recall on lettuce for both Iowa and Illinois.
That's good to know. That's the only thing that's ever brought me down.
Dole Fresh Vegetables issuing a voluntary recall on organic romaine hearts due to a possible health risk from E. coli. So these are Dole organic hearts of romaine. They were sold in both Iowa and Illinois. Dole Fresh Vegetables they want to take a look at that. If you've got any hearts of romaine that you're going to be putting out there. E. coli, as you know, Darren, can end up with vomiting, severe stomach cramps, and, of course, E. coli can also produce another symptom. And that symptom, of course.
I don't even know if it's a symptom.
It's a result? What would you say it is?
It has an effect.
The effect that it has is, well, I mean, it's killed presidents.
It can be pretty violent.
pretty gross. So avoid that at all costs.
All right. Romaine hearts.
Organic, yes.
Diarrhea. Thank you.
You don't want to deal with it. You don't want to deal with that. National Cranberry Day was yesterday. Today is National Sardine Day. I imagine you're the kind of person that eats a sardine.
Yeah, I can eat sardines.
Do you cook them or you eat them right out of the can? How does that work with a sardine? Is that a dumb question?
No, typically, I don't know that I've ever warmed up a sardine.
You just eat them right out of the can,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, typically, just out of the can with maybe a cracker.
So does it have like the head and everything? Are there bones in it? Do they debone them? I've never had a sardine. All I know from sardines is learning from Woody Woodpecker cartoons. I know that the Wally Walrus.
They typically
enjoys them.
Don't have the head. If there's any sort of bone that remains, it's so softened that you can eat the bones.
You can chew the bone on a sardine.
The bone's fine. The bone would kind of dissolve in your mouth the same way as if you had canned salmon.
Does it have a head?
No. Typically, they have the head has been removed.
Okay, so they chop off the
head. Cut off the head, remove the tail.
Uh-huh. Okay. So
Song of the Whale.
And apparently the sardine. Mm-hmm. So happy National Sardine Day. Sardine's not something people enjoy for Thanksgiving, do they?
I guess
you Seems
could.
Weird that it would be now. Like, you would think all of the food for whatever the national day is would be.
It was always a favorite of my grandfather. He was
sardines?
He was a sardine fan.
Interesting. They're not expensive, right?
No, they're not expensive.
Okay.
It's not caviar.
I'm just, because I don't know anything.
Would you like me to get you a can of sardines?
I wouldn't even know where to look at a grocery store. Have I seen them on store shelves?
Do you know where a can of tuna fish is?
I think I could find that.
Okay, well, then you would just look a little bit up, and they would be right there, along with a can of herring or a can of clams.
Now you're just making things up.
A can of salmon, a can of shrimp.
Now, the can of clams, they don't have the shell, right? It's just the clam that's inside the shell?
Yeah, typically the shell wouldn't be in there. That would be adding weight to a purchase that isn't really fair to you.
Don't do it. Well, happy National Sardines Day if that's something that you celebrate in your house. And I've learned a lot. I've not learned enough to make me want to eat one.
They're good for you.
I bet they're too salty for me.
Well, they come in a variety of different sauces, including mustard.
You can get them in a mustard sauce,
sure.
Huh?
It's a brave new world out there, Dave.
This is the part of the bit where I normally would say, well, maybe I'll try one. But we all know that's never going to happen. What's the difference between an anchovy and a sardine? They're kind of the same thing, right?
They're different fish. The anchovy's going to be smaller. Sardines don't get used in things the way anchovies do. A lot of times anchovies will be used in some sort of dish that adds a depth of savory flavor. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even know that the sardine was in there. They're good, or anchovies, I'm saying.
Yeah.
They're used as some sort of depth of savory flavor in a lot of things.
So you can find sardines in other dishes?
You would be able to find sardines, yeah. Sardines get used in other dishes.
Okay. What would be something that you would eat?
Well, you could, of course, eat it on a pizza.
The number one most Googled question about sardines. And this
sardines or anchovies?
Sardines.
Sardines.
The number one biggest question that people ask about sardines is, do sardines have poop in them? Because you don't fillet it, right?
No, it'll be cut. There could be sardine, yeah, there's herring fillets, and then
it says sardines are not filleted. So that means their internal organs are there when you eat it, and that includes the intestine. So you're eating fish poop when you eat a sardine.
No,
because there still must be some poop in the intestines.
I tend to think that that's not true. I think most canned sardines, they've been gutted.
In Portugal, 60% of the national sardine catch is consumed fresh. They eat 12 pounds a person on average. They only eat 2 pounds of canned sardines a year, but they'll eat 12 pounds where it's like, hey, we just caught these sardines today.
Yeah, I've never had a fresh sardine.
No. No. Cold water, oily fish such as sardines are said to be an excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids.
There you go.
And they can be dense with nutrients. One serving of sardines packs as much as 17 grams of protein and 50% of your recommended daily calcium intake.
Yeah. One can of sardines a day and you'd be in good shape.
Is that right?
Yep.
There's a millionaire investor who eats 5 cans of sardines every day.
That's a lot.
That does seem like a lot. Was he a dolphin in a previous life? Venture capitalist Craig Cooper says his body automatically goes to sleep every night at exactly 10:24 p.m.
Well.
He's an exercise rat, but he never works out in an actual gym. And he takes 22-minute naps in the afternoon to boost his productivity. And as if that weren't enough, this guy who co-founded Boost Mobile also eats 5 cans of sardines every day to maintain his health and energy.
And I never brush my teeth. And I've never been on a date.
I keep all my urine in these jars.
And when I walk around the house, I put Kleenex boxes on my feet. I'm a little bit of a weirdo. Boost Mobile!
He says sardines are the number one superfood for guys.
Yeah.
They're a powerhouse of nutrition, so I'm kind of an evangelist for sardines amongst everyone I meet.
There you go.
So this guy feels like it's his duty
to tell everybody
to really just
about the health benefits, the power of sardines.
Interesting. He says he's...
Plus, you can keep them forever. And they don't take up a lot of space. Talking about this, the perfect pantry food.
Yeah, you can keep.
Although sardines I kind of always chill my sardines.
Interesting. Quick break, and we're back.
I think we might have made some sort of breakthrough here. I think you're interested.
I don't hate it on paper, but I'm thinking in reality, I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
Sure you can.
Especially now that I've read that they have fish poop in.
They don't.
Number five.
Story here from Poland, where they've just opened up a new swimming pool. And the swimming pool is in the news because it's a deep pool. How deep, you ask?
Yeah, because typically what's a swimming pool? How deep? Or what? Even if it's a big swimming pool. What's at 12 feet?
I was
going to
say 11 and a half, 12 feet is probably the deepest,
That's a deep swimming pool.
Right. This is the world's deepest swimming pool.
That's interesting.
It's 148 feet deep.
Huh.
It includes an underwater tunnel and a hotel.
Well, I don't know about the tunnel.
Deep Spot Center. Opening up in Poland. It's 148 feet deep.
Isn't that wild?
With a water volume, it's the equivalent of 27 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
Sure.
They just opened their doors in the central Polish town of... Okay, it's spelled M-S-Z-C-Z-O-N-O-W. I'm going to try this. Mizuzinow.
Uh-huh.
Not far from Warsaw.
Gesundheit.
There is a small wreck in the pool for scuba divers and free divers to explore.
Yeah.
So this is a way to go scuba diving and deep sea diving in a pool. The pool can accommodate customers during the coronavirus pandemic.
Did you go scuba diving with me?
No, I've never been scuba diving. Where would that have happened?
We did so.
Here on the river?
No, it wasn't. I wasn't good enough to get in the river.
Oh.
We did some sort of scuba dive training at one of the Ys. I think it was at a Y in Moline, and it was just basically in a pool. And I tell you what, it's different. I mean, you don't naturally allow yourself to breathe underwater.
Yeah, I could
see
that.
So it takes a little getting used to, for sure. Yeah, I'm certainly not good enough to scuba dive in the river.
What's cool about the underwater tunnel, I think you would like the underwater tunnel because it's in the water, it's not underwater. So you're walking in a tunnel in the middle of the pool.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a glass tunnel, it's like a skyway that you can walk around and be completely surrounded by the pool water.
So that's perfect for the person who's asking, where are you going to be swimming this summer?
Oh my gosh, this thing looks amazing. But yeah, there's all these tunnels that you can go climbing around in, and then there's a skyway at the top where you can do some observation. The world's deepest swimming pool.
Huh.
It just goes down and down and down, deep spot.
That's got to be... That makes being a lifeguard more difficult.
Yeah, you got to go get somebody that's 140 feet underwater. Accessible to scuba divers and other members of the public includes an underwater tunnel, hotel rooms that overlook the pool, as well as restaurants and conference rooms. I think...
Now, is it all that deep, or is there a section that...
There's like a section...
Is there a section that's maybe like 6 feet deep?
No, most of it is deep. I think it goes down 20 meters, and then there's like a hole at the bottom. So it's designed in such a way where, like, you can get to the bottom once you're 20 meters deep, and then you can go further down in this giant hole. Because if the whole thing was that deep, that would be way too much water. How do you keep that much water clean? Can you imagine the filters on something like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seasoned divers use it to pass exams so they can become scuba diving instructors.
You would need
apparently.
Some very aggressive filtration, that's for sure.
They say it's like kindergarten for divers.
Oh, I don't know about that. The pool at the Moline Y was kindergarten for divers.
Yeah, this seems pretty elevated. Yeah, there's of course you don't have any coral reefs or any fish to deal with, which is what I think people like when they go scuba diving. But as far as a place to train, I don't hate this idea. 8,000 cubic meters of water. More than 20 times what an ordinary pool would have. What they're saying is this is the deepest pool in the world, but it's only going to hold that record for another 6 months.
Oh, this is becoming a popular thing, huh?
Because there's a place that is going to be opening up in the UK in 6 months with a 164-foot deep pool. That one is called Blue Abyss, intended to be a deep sea and space research facility. Primary function will be to enable extreme environment development for robots and humans. Jeez. So this deep spot in Poland just took the record from a place in northern Italy. It's going to be the deepest pool for 6 months, and then the UK will have the deepest pool. Water temperatures are between 90 and 93 degrees, so you're comfortable. They keep all that water heated? That seems like a lot of work. Non-swimmers can get experience without getting wet by walking around in the tunnels and checking out the, you know,
I like
the
going
windows.
I like going to the pool, but I don't like getting wet.
And there's like a big ladder that you can climb on the way up.
That helps. That's a good idea.
To have a ladder?
Or an escalator would be a good idea.
I would imagine kicking your legs with flippers on would get you up faster than a ladder, right?
Yeah, but
Or do you need the ladder to go down? Do you need weights to go down that far?
Yeah,
because when you go to the bottom of a deep pool, like a 12 or 13-foot pool, your head starts to hurt a little bit, right? Because the pressure. How do you go down 140 feet?
I never have.
That's nuts.
Get the bends.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Hope you liked it. We had fun. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, we should thank our sponsors at Nature's Treatment of Illinois, right?
That's absolutely correct. They have, this is their goal. Nature's Treatment of Illinois' goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness, and their experienced wellness consultants, what they'll do is they'll sit down with you and have a conversation, and they'll discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered. If you'd like to take a look at the website, that's ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, thanks for downloading, subscribing, leaving a review. Until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
That's it, man. Game over, man.